The New York legislature recently ended the 2018 session and left many criminal justice reforms unaddressed. WOOC correspondent Corrine Carey spoke with policy strategist Mo Farrell from the CATAL Center for Health, Equity, and Justice.
CATAL is a state-based organization. We're in both New York and Connecticut, and we work as a strategy hub and a collaborative partner to deploy our expertise in community organizing and policy advocacy. And CATAL is really focused on three goals that are interrelated, the first being to end mass criminalization, mass incarceration, and the war on drugs. Also to advance health, equity, and justice in public safety and drug control, and to also build leadership and organizing capacity among local leaders, advocates, and community groups. So I work in CATAL's New York City office to advance criminal justice reform campaigns in New York, and I have a particular focus on reforms that would reduce jail populations across the state, including bail and speedy trial reform.
The 2018 legislative session just ended, and there were a number of important criminal justice reforms before lawmakers this year. Can you talk about what they were and what happened this session?
Sure. So there was a lot of momentum for pretrial justice reforms in particular. So those are reforms that are aimed at reducing the number of people who are in jails who are awaiting the outcome of their case. So that's actually about 70% of people in jails across the state. They haven't been convicted of anything and should be presumed innocent in the eyes of the law. And the effects of pretrial detention are really devastating to individuals, families, and communities. Pretrial detention of just a few days can increase the likelihood of a new arrest, and it could lead to family instability, the loss of a job or housing or medical care. And then I should also say that there are really drastic racial disparities in pretrial practices. Black and brown people are more likely to be detained pretrial, and they're more likely to be offered more punitive plea deals. So there are three main pretrial justice reforms that lawmakers were considering this year. The first that really had the most momentum was bail reform. The majority of people who are in pretrial detention are there because they can't afford to bail themselves out. So bail reform would end wealth-based detention. It would confront and reduce racial disparities in pretrial practices, and it would ultimately take profit out of pretrial justice decisions.
Mo, can you give us an example of what happens when someone is arrested on, say, a low-level offense, and they come before a judge and are during a bail hearing? What happens that keeps them in jail?
Well, the judge ultimately has 9 forms of bail available to them, but they typically only set the 2 forms that are the hardest for people to afford. And so a lot of times people have, for example, cash bail that is set at such a high amount that they can't afford to pay it, and are therefore put in pretrial detention until, you know, the outcome of their case or until they can afford to pay bail. But, you know, there are a lot of people in pretrial detention for really small amounts just because they can't afford to pay it, like as low as $500 for a low-level offense.
And what kind of an offense would that be that would land someone in jail and be given that level of bail?
I mean, it could be anything from, you know, drug possession to, taking money from your grandma's purse. Really, low-level offenses that people should be able to fight for at home so they can continue their jobs and childcare and everything else.
Got it. So what would the bail reform that was on the table in Albany have done?
Well, there were a few different bills on the table, but ultimately, the common thread through the bills was that they would end cash bail for nearly all misdemeanors and nonviolent felony cases. And it would really promote the other forms of bail that are available to the judge so that folks can, work toward the outcome of their case at home.
And what happened to that reform? It seemed like there was momentum around it. There was support in the legislature. Why did it not pass this year?
So there was a lot of momentum. In the beginning of the year, Governor Cuomo included bail reform in addition to speedy trial and discovery reform in his State of the State address and his list of budget priorities. But ultimately, it didn't pass in the budget. And then we had another chance through the legislative session to get it passed through the Assembly and the Senate. The Assembly did pass a bail reform bill that was sponsored by Assemblymember Walker, but the Senate never brought it to the floor for a vote. So this session is now over and bail reform was not passed.
So we are speaking with Mo Farrell, the policy strategist with CATAL in New York City. She has been working on bail reform issues along with other criminal justice reform issues in the state legislature on the Hudson Mohawk magazine this evening. Mo, were there any steps backwards from a criminal justice perspective this year in Albany?
Thankfully, the Assembly killed all of the criminal justice reform bills that would have taken us backwards. So no bills took us backwards, although the Senate did pass some bills that were wildly disappointing that would have increased penalties and prohibit parole for people convicted of certain violent felony offenses. But the Assembly killed those bills, and thankfully we didn't actually take any steps back for criminal justice reform this year.
The governor signed an executive order that would allow parolees to vote. Some people have said that he sort of neutralized that issue. So, you know, not all parolees will now be able to vote, and it'll be very difficult to seek reforms in the future. What's your perspective on what happened?
I believe that, you know, this was a step forward just because there are some people who are able to vote now who couldn't before. And so, you know, I'm not as familiar with that executive order, but, you know, we would, of course, like anyone who is on parole or probation or even in prison to have the ability to vote and speak their voice.
So what does CATAL's work look like in the next 6 months now that the legislature is out of session? What are you gearing up for next year? Will you bring the bail reform bill back?
Absolutely. And we'll be working with our partners to double down on our efforts and really continue our organizing and build power to hold Albany accountable. So, you know, the first step is to evaluate the outcomes of our session, check in with our partners, and revisit the bills we've been pushing for to see how they can be strengthened. But we'll also be actively engaged with the upcoming elections in November to ensure that folks in our communities know who their candidates are and to make sure that they're prepared to vote, because that could really change things up for 2019.
What other reforms would you like to see the state legislature address that would promote fairness and equity in our criminal justice system?
So in addition to bail reform, there were a couple of other pretrial justice reforms that passed the Assembly but didn't make it through the Senate. First being speedy trial reform that would ensure that cases go to trial in a reasonable time frame, because right now our speedy trial law is riddled with loopholes that cause extensive court delays, and they lead to long periods of detention for people who have been charged but haven't been convicted of anything. So sometimes people are in pretrial detention for months or years because of the loopholes in our speedy trial law. We'd also love to see discovery reform passed. In a criminal case, discovery materials include the evidence that's collected during the investigation and prosecution of charges. So that's police reports and statements of witnesses and other forms of discovery. And New York's current law doesn't require district attorneys to turn over discovery materials to defendants until the day trial actually begins. So that leaves defendants blindfolded to the evidence that's against them. So early and automatic and open file discovery would bring New York in line with the best practices across the country so that defendants and their attorneys know what they're up against and they can properly prepare for their cases. There was also another bill that would restrict the use of solitary confinement that passed the Assembly toward the end of session. So that is the practice of locking people up in small cells for up to 24 hours a day without meaningful human contact or programming or therapy. And again, that passed the Assembly but did not pass the Senate. So those are just some of the other bills, but there are really, you know, a host of reforms that we need to our criminal justice system in order to make it more fair.
I want to go back to what you said about discovery and how New York's laws around discovery for criminal defendants are not very transparent. Do district attorneys have the obligation to turn over evidence that would exculpate a defendant? Say they have a statement from a witness that another person may have committed the crime. Is that something that the DA is obligated to turn over to the defendant's attorney?
Right now, the law is functioning so that they do not actually have to turn it over until the day trial begins. So discovery reform would turn that around so that that is information that the defense would have to have early on in the case.
Got it. Mo, where can folks find out more information about what CATAL does and about the bail reform issue and the other criminal justice reforms that that your organization is working on in New York?
Yeah, you can always visit us at our website, which is catalcenter.org. CATAL is K-A-T-A-L. There you can read more about the work that we're doing, sign up for our newsletter. You can also follow us on social media at CATAL Center. And folks can always email me at mo@catalcenter.org. It's just M-O.
That was Mo Farrell, policy strategist with the CATAL Center for Health, Equity, and Justice, talking to WOOC correspondent Corinne Carey about state criminal justice reforms.